Blog Talk Radio.
They got me once again. What up, world? Welcome to a late night, early morning, depending on what part of the world, what part of the globe in. I'm in the city of Champion, Tallahassee, Florida, and this is another edition of the Getting Up. It's the one on Twitter. Of course, this is that Saturday morning fight talk, and of course, U.S. debut. And look out either right after the fight, maybe, depending on what's going on, or Sunday for a little post UFC, and honestly, probably a little post those for. I haven't got to watch the Bellator card or see much results myself. I'm sure my boy Andrew can catch me up if he wants to. So we are completely freestyling tonight. So we basically caught each other. We're doing no prep. So on the line with me tonight, I got the man that told Conor McGregor, "Dude, it's all right. You can miss the press conference." The man who secretly told Dana White, "Hey, bro, you should give PSP a call. Conor McGregor's not a big deal." The man who told Ronda Rousey, "Drew Amanda Nunes, you fight Holly Holm." The man who told Verdum, "You'd be champion." The man who told Vitor Belfort, "That's not testosterone in your little milkshake. That is just a little bit of protein." The man who told Sage Northcutt, "Act like Tim Tebow." He is Mr. Paycheck himself. The man, the myth, the legend. He is better acting than Will Smith. He does not give a shit. He will never quit. He is always here. He's throwing up signs like a blood or a script. He is Stockton Flat. He is Mr. Andrew Meredith, middle fingers up, don't give a fuck, slap your mama in the butt. Nate Diaz at a press conference with no opponent sitting across from him. What the fuck? Andrew Meredith, what's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what they do? And Ryan, a little sidebar, bar, just a little bit of warning. You're coming in a little bit in and out, in and scratchy. Just a little warning. But I'm doing great, Ryan. It's Friday night, you know, another long-ass week for the corporate lifestyle. Now, Ryan, I know you are hitting your busy hours, my friend, but, however, I know it's pretty sweet being a waiter and getting that cash money, bringing home all the bacon. And anyone in Tallahassee, honestly, y'all need to check out 319 Wine and Cheese. Ryan's brother, I need to know this, they added it to the menu. Posted a picture of a meatball stuffed with spaghetti. One of the most delicious looking things I've ever seen. But Ryan, I'm going to jump right into it. Thinking about Bellator, huge breaking news. Somewhere Dana's snickering. I honestly can't believe this happened. Benson Henderson got beat down and lost the decision tonight. Unanimous decision, lost 50-45. Now I have it. Seen the fight.
Horse Trove is an animal.
He is. He beat him unanimous decision. Vesta didn't even win one round. He steamrolled him. So just to start it off now I didn't watch this whole belt so hard. I know Michael Venom Cage won via submission. I know Pitbull won. And those are the main ones I know the results to since I didn't get to see the card. But Venom Cage had a nice submission victory. But Ryan, before we get to know the chapter two of the Conor McGregor Dana White beef and all this stuff with Nate, this Bellator, Benson Henderson losing. This was the guy at our last show. We were just talking about he's a marquee guy. He's an A-plus fighter Bellator went and got. Now, granted, I'm sure having him helped the ratings, but I mean, they just paid this guy a buttload of money, stole him from the UFC. And he got beat down. Do you think it's early jitters, maybe fighting in a new promotion, not quite being ready with the difference? Do you think we can see him going to running later? Well, I mean, that's kind of been overrated, and is the gap in the UFC kind of in Bellator not as big as, you know, the media makes it out to believe to be.
Can you hear me clearly now? Better?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're coming in kind of like a far distance, not sure. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, we're doing this on the fly. Let me tell you what it was. Bellator let Benson Henderson get his ego. Like, they didn't check his ego at the door with all the money, which we don't know the official money they threw at him. It could be the sponsors that are throwing a lot of money at Benson Henderson, but I'm sure he got a hefty pay. But Benson Henderson is a top lightweight fighter, and that is where Bellator should have been utilizing Benson Henderson. Even though they have a good lightweight division, he should have been debuting against Michael Chandler or Thompson, another UFC veteran, two guys that are fighting each other. I can't wait for that fight in Bellator. He should have been fighting Ill Will Chandler for the belt, even though I think Ill Will could have beat him also. But he should not have dictated, or I don't know if this was Bellator wanting to do it themselves, he should not have been at the 170-pound division. Because even though Paul Daly is not a great wrestler, I don't like Benson Henderson versus Paul Daly as a matchup. And if they already have Paul Daly and Kostek, and they're building that fight up, and you have Michael Venom Page at welterweight also, why do you need Benson Henderson at welterweight? Why wouldn't you try to build up your lightweight division when you have two guys like Paul Daly and Michael Venom Page that can easily both challenge the welterweight title later on, and both could be superstars in their own right? I think Benson Henderson has never been great at welterweight. He was like, you know, he would win a match in the UFC. I'm not sure his official record in the UFC at welterweight. I don't think he, you know, I know he went out with a victory over the dude that was on that NBC YouTube show that we both love. He went out with a victory over him. He beat Thatch, I believe. But this just shows Bellator has really good champions. And I heard a good quote by Joe Rogan. He said Bellator sometimes fucks themselves over by having, you know, Ben Anderson's not a freak show, but by having, like, the Ken Shamrock voice, it kind of makes it feel dirty when they have all these young, good champions that they're not promoting. Horschel dominated Douglas Lima, a really, really good fighter, and he won that title. And he's a great grappler. He's a great striker. I have not seen the fight yet, but if he won by that wide of a margin, I have to imagine it was a pretty dominant victory. Maybe you made a new star, but I don't see why they needed him in a welterweight division, which is clearly their most dominant division. But lightweight is also a stacked division for them, or semi-stacked. They also have Whiteshell, or whatever his name is, one of the best leg lock specialists. But I just don't see why he was at welterweight. I believe that's more the reason why he lost. I don't think he should have been able to fight at welterweight if you're going to throw him all that money. Benson Henderson is one of the best lightweight fighters of all time, not welterweight. So that's my official opinion on it, Andrew. But I'm not sure where you go from here with Benson. I mean, do you throw him back at lightweight and sell that promotional value behind him? Because don't forget, they had Melvin Gillard come over too, and he disappointed. I mean, this has happened before for Bellator, and you have to look at the UFC and say, it happened when Hector Lombard first went over to the UFC. You know, the just certain guys, Eddie Alvarez, even though he's fighting for the title, it happened when he first went over. So it's not a particular only Bellator problem, but they definitely needed Benson to succeed in this fight because they put so much money behind him. What do you think, this built a new star, or this totally pissed on Bellator's parade?
I don't want to say it completely shits on Bellator's parade, just because, I think Michael Venom Page was probably bigger for them that he can come out with the win. B, Benson lost to their champ. it would have been something if he lost to just, you know, some random up-and-comer. But he lost to the champ. He lost to the guy with the belt, you know, fighting a weight division, you know, bigger than what he's been known for being successful in. I mean, Benson, the thing that's about him moving up to welterweight, it's kind of like the same thing about Conor McGregor. Benson's big for a lightweight, but when he gets to that welterweight size, he suddenly doesn't have those advantages that he had at the lower weight class. I'm not going to buy – I mean, yeah, the loss hurts. I definitely would want him to go back down to 155 for his next fight, you know, get a couple wins over his belt, under his belt, and get the ball rolling. I mean, Ryan, you know, we were just talking about Eddie Alvarez, you know, but he's fighting for the belt. So, you know, we can certainly, you know, that early loss and kind of turning it around. Now, I'm not going to, you know, completely deny, you know, that this did hurt, this did show their parade. I mean, this is your big guy you stole from the UFC. But it's kind of a little bit of a double-edged sword because also with us seeing Benson get dominated like this, I mean, you have to think, huh, Bellator has some capable fighters as well. It's not just the UFC. UFC, everyone else is the D-League. So with that, you know what I mean? Like, it definitely hurts. That's their big guy. They just signed. Would have been big for him to get the belt. But, you know, Ryan, it's also kind of good for him to think, you know, Bellator doesn't even turn into like a D-League UFC because Benson wins the belt and then maybe, say, Koscheck wins. And the next thing you got, Josh Koscheck against Benson Henderson for your welterweight belt. You know, two guys that are out of the UFC. Now, granted, Benson didn't get cut. He went and took more money. But, I mean, you kind of get what I'm saying there. But, I mean, it has to hurt. But I don't think the magnitude is – it's not like he just got upset by a no one. You know what I mean? It was the fact that he lost to the champion. Ryan, you are the best in the biz with matchmaking. We know, you know, Dana listens in for some of your matchups. I don't know if Scott Coker's listening or not. He might be texted me. He wanted to catch the show tonight afterwards. But Ryan, give me a couple hypothetical matchups that you think would be best for Benson to rebound, how you think they should set it up. Should he take another really tough fight? He obviously shouldn't get a chance to fight for the, you know, for the lightweight belt after losing, but what are some matchups you could see that could be good fights, you know, bring a pretty good draw, be intriguing? What do you got for me?
All right, so just looking at it, I do have to agree, like, if they would have thrown him in there against Melvin Gallard as his promotional debut, then it would have just been two former UFC fighters fighting. And if Benson Henderson would have went in at Bellator, and I don't even think Bellator thought about this, but if he would have just went in and easily won their welterweight title when he's not even close to winning the welterweight title in the UFC, that really makes your promotion look bad. So I don't even think that Bellator even thought about it that way. I think they just thought, oh, this guy has a name. Let's use him. You know, people have seen him on the WEC. People have seen him on the UFC. You know, he's been a UFC champ. He's been a WEC champ. We didn't even talk about this. He would have been the first guy ever to get the triple crown.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that. And I think we just coined a new term, Ryan, the triple crown in MMA.
The triple crown, which one day somebody is going to be able to achieve that. And I think that if he would have been able to go over Bellator and just easily win that welterweight championship, like, it's not like it's Paul Daly, because if you put Paul Daly, I don't care what these UFC heads say, you throw Paul Daly in there against Robbie Lawler, he's got at least a 40% chance of knocking Robbie out. Paul Daly could put any welterweight lights out on the planet. He is that good of a welterweight. He has that much knockout power. And I believe Michael Venom Page has that much ability where in the future he might be able to do that. And I also think Douglas Lima and Corsto, the champion, both could be, you know, top six fighters in the UFC welterweight division. So I think that division is very healthy. So I think if Benson would have just went over and won, that's not great for your promotion, even though it's the name. But if you look at the other side, you got to say they put the money in, you know, they invested in Phil Davis. You know, he's starting to win, but they didn't give him the title shot right away. They really put a lot into Benson. All right, so looking at, you know, what to do with Benson then, you got to say, all right, Benson, we're going to send you back down the lightweight. That is where you're the most successful. And I think it's clear as day, a matchup that a lot of people want to see is Ill Will Brooks. There's no way you can justify having Benson fight your champion at lightweight right away after your welterweight champion just beat his ass. You can't do that, even though it's like a, for the tactical people that like tactical fights, Ill Will Brooks is like a young Benson Henderson. But you can't have that fight now right away. That would have been a dream fight for him to start off, I know, but you can't have it. So clearly to me, since it looks like Bellator wants to get rid of Ill Will Brooks, they're really having a lot of arguments and stuff like that, I think it has to be the winner of Michael Chandler versus Thompson, which is going to be an epic fight Benson Henderson, or maybe even the loser, fight Benson Henderson. But my first would be Michael Chandler versus Benson Henderson, because Michael Chandler has a 10-fight deal with Bellator. He's always been their poster boy. He's always entertaining, and he is a, you know, at least top 10, top 12 type guy, kind of like Benson Henderson is in the lightweight division. But in Bellator, you know, they're the top guys other than Ill Will Brooks. So I think that would be entertaining. Of course, Thompson will be next on that, you know, next guy in line. I think that would be very entertaining. And if you wanted Benson to just go in there and get a victory, I think you definitely have to look at the Melvin Gallard, because, you know, Melvin, he's on a losing streak, but, you know, who knows what could happen. Maybe something big can happen there. And I think the last name you got to think of, a guy who's on a good winning streak, he just beat Ryan Couture, is Pitbull Parade, the young Pitbull, the 145-pound guy. His brother, who fights at 155, talks a lot of shit. Him versus Benson would also be a good start for Benson at 155. I think the two that have your mouth rolling, if you're a real MMA fan, have to be Thompson versus Benson, and then Benson versus, Michael Chandler. Other than that, it's kind of fights just to get Benson back on the winning, you know, side of things. But Benson has already said, like, when I'm 33, I'm going to go into the military, stop fighting. Seems like the guy who just wanted a payday, the more I looked into it, and was.
Hello?
Yeah.
Ryan. Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you end up saying this is the guy who wanted a payday?
Yeah, I was looking into it, and I have to say that, you know, when he came out and said that he was looking to serve in the military when he was 33 years old, I'm not sure how old he is now, but when he comes out and says that, and also when he did not look that dedicated when he was in the UFC, I'm not sure if, you know, people thought maybe he would capture that, you know, that want to fight in Bellator again. But it seemed like his last few UFC fights, he had lost his will to fight a little bit, even though he won a couple of them. So I think that, you know, that does not have the will to fight. And this was, you know, let me get a couple of last fights in my career and get that last payday before I move on. That could clearly be it, because no matter how good Koroshov is, which I think that clearly Paul Daly, Koscheck, which I think Paul Daly is going to kill Koscheck, so I think it's going to be Paul Daly. He clearly should fight Koroshov next, but that guy could be a wrecker. He could be the next Hector Lombard. And he's younger, you know, he's on a fucking, he's killing people lately. He could be the next guy. And what he did to Benson tonight, that scorecard that you read me, winning all five rounds, I don't know a lot of welterweights in the UFC that could beat Benson. all five rounds. I mean, that is a dominant performance.
He lost in pretty impressive fashion. And, you know, some of the tweets I read, it's not even close, Ryan. I have to agree, you know, Benson, he is 32. If he wants to go join the Army Reserves, first of all, he's got to, you know, he's at the age right now. I mean, he was a champion. He not only was he a champion, he went on a nice run, too. You know what I mean? He won a bunch of fights. And correct me if I'm wrong, did he ever get revenge against Anthony Pettis?
He did not, but he did beat Donald Cerrone, and he did beat Nate Diaz.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Anthony submitted him after he kicked him, I believe. But, you know, the guy, he won the belt, and he had a nice run, too. He's kind of been to the top of the mountain, and his bank account may have not reflected how great what he was. So, yeah, I can't blame the guy for, you know, going to take a payday. I mean, I still do think he has the will to fight, but I think he's getting to the age where he's evaluating his options a little bit. And, I mean, Ryan, who knows? He could have been sleeping on this fight, you know, buying into his own ego. But I have to agree with you. I think it was completely mismanaged. I think part of the reason why he even got the welterweight fight was because he wanted it. But we also have to think, Ryan, I mean, is he at an age where that weight cut is just too much? You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be 32. How hard is it for him now to cut weight? Is it too hard for him to cut down to 155? But all in all, very surprising. But, hey, I will say this. You know, what Bellator lost in Benson, this, you have to think a fight like this for the common fans puts however you say his name, Kovalev, on the radar, on the blip. You know, people are going to want to tune in to watch him fight. You know, it puts him on the blip, and, you know, it puts him on the blip. You know what I mean? People know who he is, and they respect him. And, I mean, in the eyes, a lot of people, including myself, I see this is kind of a win for, you know, Bellator against the UFC with one of their, you know, homegrown talent against, you know, a former UFC champion and a fighter still in the waning years of his prime. He might have one or two, a couple more years left. But, Ryan, you know, not enough about good old Benson. One other guy we have to touch on.
Andrew, let me say this real quick, though. You know, I got to say this. I did see a couple of tweets while I was at work, especially when Michael Venom Page got his impressive victory. I saw people saying, this is a real fight card. This is something I want to see. So maybe Bellator did come out at least after the debacle they had with Kimbo Slice got a 5,000, and they put on, you know, maybe not spectacular, but with kickboxing following the MMA card. So shout out to all the kickboxers. I did a poster, you know, a week ago. But, you know, Bellator having a good MMA card, you know, a 5-round. I haven't got to watch the fight yet, but maybe it was a war. We haven't got to see, but maybe it was a dominant victory, but it was still a 5-round championship fight with Benson Henderson, Michael Venom Page on the card. I believe Ward was on the card, too. He's very hyped up. I haven't seen his results yet. But at least Bellator came out with a very stacked card and had kickboxing to follow to show the fans that they could put out some.
It was also a very entertaining card as well, Ryan. I mean, from what I read, there was a lot of submissions. Pitbull, Fabricio with the submission, and also Michael Venom Page with submission. And furthermore, this now gets Page to 10-0. Everyone had to, and of course, Michael Ward, I forgot, he had a submission too with a heel hook a half a minute into the first round. But the guy he was fighting, Santos, he is 21-16. But still, I mean, you know, the male cyborg is a strong, you know what I mean? I know he's only 21-16, but still, he's a physically imposing guy, you know what I mean? But
Brandon was on a 6-fight win streak, and he killed a dude in Risen, and he was actually going to fight for the welterweight title before Benson got booked. So Ward is the guy that was, like, you know, in line because he's won so many Bellator fights in a row. And Venom Page is kind of that guy who's going to eventually be in line other than Paul Daly. So, and, you know, Douglas Lima is the former champion. But to have those three big names that they always promote win is huge for them. But
it's very huge. And it was, I think it's huge, too, that the card was a success when you look at it. We saw exciting finishes. Now, granted, they weren't knockouts, but, I mean, sometimes it's nice to see the exciting submissions, you know, people who aren't always in tune with the ground game, you know what I mean, get to see some cool submissions and some good matchups on the ground. But real quick, just to finish on Michael Venom Page before we get over to the UFC, this was huge, him getting a win after, I mean, Ryan, how long has it been? It had to have been over a year since MVP has fought. He looked like the MVP with the victory. Now, if you're Bellator, you got to think Michael Venom Page has won enough. You've been building him up. You got to kind of put him in that title fight pretty soon. Do you think that, where do you see him going from here? Do you think that he will get the next shot at Kolov or Khrushchev? I can't say his name right. With do you think he will get the next fight with him, or do you think we will see Paul Daly and Josh Koscheck winner, and then MVP gets one more fight, or we strike when the iron's hot and get a chance, your biggest superstar, to fight, but you are rolling the dice. If he loses, it does hurt his enamor. What do you do with MVP? Ryan.
Hey, I'm here.
Ryan.
Andrew, you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. What do you do with MVP, Ryan?
Bellator set it up beautifully. You know, as far as this is a Scott Coker special right here, because Michael Venom Page is already 4-0 in Bellator, and he went out there and got a beautiful finish. And now he is scheduled to fight on the UK card where Paul Daly and Kimbo Slice are fighting. So you're already hyping him up for another fight. So he's going to be able to go out there. You know, maybe you put him against Ward, or you put him against one of your up-and-coming guys. I think they have a guy named Gonzalez who's also really good coming up. You know, you put him against a really good prospect. And, not a prospect, but another guy who's, you know, high on the up and coming. You know, Michael Venom Page is now past kind of where that Conor McGregor, where, you know, he beat Brendan, whatever the guy's name is, the Brazilian, when Conor, or Dennis Seaver, you know, he's past that stage. So now you set him up with that Dustin Poirier type fight in Britain. On that Paul Daly, Kimbo Slice undercard, and then you give Paul Daly the title shot or Ward, and then you have Venom fight. After two fights, then you have Venom step in and you have him fight for this title. I don't think you need to rush Venom right away into the title. I think they have enough big cards to keep putting him on there, and they keep promoting him like they are. To have him fight maybe two fights from now, and then you have him fight Khrushchev, because you don't want to put Venom with his kind of skills in there right away against Khrushchev with Khrushchev's grappling ability, and have Khrushchev do what he did to Douglas Lima, where he laid on him for 5 rounds. You want Venom Page to get in there, you know, knock a few more people out, maybe go against a wrestler like Conor McGregor did, build him up, let the UK.
Ryan, I do apologize, folks. It looks like we lost Ryan for a second.
Andrew,
the back, loud and clear.
Yeah, then you have him fight for the title in about 3 fights. Are you
Ryan,
there, Andrew?
Oh, you're back, I hear you. So you think he should still fight 3 more fights? before you give him that title shot?
Yeah, I think you should. You should keep building him up. Why rush into him? Like, why have him rush into the title when you have a guy like Paul Daly who can easily step in and still has that name value that can fight for the title also?
No, yeah, definitely. I do have to agree, because it's so steady, you don't have to force him in there for the fight. I might think maybe in two fights, maybe the fresh shot, three stuff. I don't know. You always do run the risk he can lose, but I'm with you, Ryan. There's no reason. You also want to get him the best matchup possible. And, I mean, let's face it, I'd rather see him scrap with Paul Daly if Paul Daly can win it. Instead, it would be an exciting stand-up fight.
Hooker knows how to build a guy up, you know? He knows how to build
him. No, he certainly does. And also, Ryan, another thing I do have to agree, now that I think about it more, I mean, and the guy has, I know he just got his feet back in, but there's no way he's in the full swing of things after being out for so long. Ryan, I mean, all in all, we haven't watched the event, but the buzz I'm seeing on Twitter, on social media, except Bleacher Report kind of gives love, but I swear to God, Dana's slipping them for money so we don't get those Bellator updates. But from what I see on Twitter and other social media, I have to say this card does seem like a pretty successful card. It seems like a lot of people tuned in, so I am giving Bellator a lot of finishes. Benson did lost their champion. I'm going to give this card a B+ from what I'm hearing in the reaction. The only reason why it got the B+ and not the A. It's just because they're big free agent signing, and Benson did lose.
It seems like Bellator did get attention, though. You know, they got attention, and if you're Bellator, that's all you want. You want the attention. That's why you're bringing guys like Benson over. Did you hear
me? I can hear you now.
Yeah, that's why you're bringing guys like Benson over. You're bringing them for the attention, and I think that's what they got. They got attention.
No, yeah, they did get a lot of attention in the past. Now, Ryan, real quick, let's go ahead and get into it, because we got a lot to talk about it in only about 13 minutes left. So the underlines of the beef came out. It wasn't about money. It was about Dana and Conor not wanting to jump through, you know, dance for Dana and go through all the bullshit that comes, which would, you know, kind of almost be, Ryan, now that I think about it, this would be his fourth world tour, because he did that world tour with Aldo. Aldo got hurt. They did another tour. Then he did the tour with RDA. He's ready to fight. He wants to fight, but he doesn't want to do it. Now, granted, Ryan, I get where Dana is coming from, you know, about not wanting to give the fighters special rules and whatnot. But you got to remember, we're in the fight game, Ryan. And I do have a little theory about this. And the numbers do reflect that Conor McGregor has made the UFC $400 million in 8 months. And, you know, Conor wrote his letter. He's like, I'll do some of it. I need to focus on training. Toughest fight of my life. I personally think maybe Floyd Mayweather – well, no, it's not about money. I was going to say got in his ear. But nothing comes down to a training. And Conor not going to go through the bullshit. And yet again, Ryan, we see an instant where Dana has gone to the well too many times and has burnt a fighter out a la Ronda Rousey. So what are your thoughts? So first of all, whose side do you have on this? What are your thoughts on this? And what do you think is going to happen? What do you think should happen? Who do you think's right? How do you view Conor McGregor after this? How do you view Dana about this? Let me just get a 360 of this whole situation from your point of view.
All right. So cut me off. Stop hearing me, all right, buddy? I'm going to go by that, all right?
All right. I got you.
All right. So first off, for him to have the press conference and to have Nate Diaz with an opponent not across from him, and this is where the UFC went wrong. They went out there, and Dana White said, we're going to find Nate Diaz another fight. And then shortly after, Nate Diaz says to the press if Conor McGregor does not fight, I am not going to fight. Three questions later, after Dana White made that announcement in the press conference, my God, can you do a worse job publicizing and not controlling your fighters? Like, you have Nate Diaz come all the way to Vegas, and you tell the whole world that you're going to find another opponent. Everyone thinks GSP and Nate Diaz is going to happen, and you can use that as a bargaining chip. We don't need you, Conor. We have Nate Diaz. And then Nate Diaz tells the whole world, after you put him in this press conference, I'm not going to fight unless you bring back Conor McGregor. Of course I got Conor McGregor's back on this. And if you look on Twitter, as hated as Conor McGregor is, all the fighters have Conor McGregor's back, except the few that hate Conor McGregor, because he is purely in the right here. I'm sorry, he's made the UFC too much money. He's done too much press conferences, and he's done too much stuff for the UFC. For the UFC to not even give him a chance, you know, to not even try to work it out, and then to embarrass themselves by bringing Nate Diaz out, and then Nate Diaz tells them, I'm not going to fight unless Conor McGregor fights. You basically just let the whole world know that Conor McGregor, you know, has all the bargaining chips now. You can no longer say, we're going to have GSP Nate Diaz. Nope. You ruined that, and Conor McGregor is in the right here. I know you have to do press conferences and all that, but you could have made a compromise and said, we're just going to do one press conference. And Andrew, what about this? What a slap in the face this is. You don't put a press conference in Dublin on this free press conference tour, but you schedule one in Stockton, California? How could you do that, Conor McGregor? Like, he's already said he does not like Vegas, and he doesn't really like California. So you put one of the press conferences in Vegas. Of course, you have one in New York, and then you're going to have one in Stockton, California, and not even give Conor McGregor his own press conference in the United Kingdom. And also, Andrew, did the UFC never think, why can't we just Skype Conor McGregor's face on a big, you know, like, bring out a fucking camera and just have him sit there, you know, like he's in the press conference. You can ask him all the questions you want, but he doesn't have to travel. Because think about how you feel when you have jet lag or you've been traveling for a long time. Conor McGregor has to fly triple the amount of all the other fighters. He has to fly all the way from Iceland. That's where he's at right now. So why not let him Skype in to the press conferences? I think it's purely ridiculous. This is purely a pissing match, and Dana White is losing so bad right now to Conor McGregor.
I have to agree, Ryan. I mean, first of all, this is the dumbest reason to not have the biggest fighter in the game, by far the biggest fighter, probably maybe even the biggest fighter in combat sports right now, since, you know, Floyd retired.
The biggest athlete, maybe. His retirement tweet got, like, double of what Kobe Bryant.
Kobe's got. Yeah, he beat Kobe's record for the most retweets. This is pretty much just one of the biggest people in the world right now. That's what we're getting at. And, you know, the funny part is, all right, I can see that Dana is trying to set a precedent, kind of nip this rebellion kind of type thing in the bud, keeping with it, it's my way or the highway type of deal. But no, you know, me and Ryan, at first we were talking about this, what if it's about money, da-da-da, but we find out the reason why Conor doesn't want, is not fighting, is because he wanted to focus on training and not doing the world tour. And then you hear him when he wrote the letter on Facebook that I read, and it was very personal. And, you know, he's talking, he's like, look, I'm fighting a guy twice the size of me, the bigger man, longer reach, after, you know, the first one of the, coming off a defeat. I need to focus on this and work hard and hone my craft. I can't hate on someone for that because, you know, they're wanting to train. And, you know, it's not like, you know, last night I said on the show, well, you know, the NFL and stuff, whatnot. It's not like, it's a very demanding promotion as well. It's not like you have to see other basketball players missing practice and whatnot because they have to promote the NBA finals or, you know, NFL players missing practice because they have to promote, you know, week one. And Conor McGregor is big enough and he's done enough groundwork where you don't have to have the guy go on a world tour anymore. You can make some videos of him talking. You don't have to go on a world tour. You can have him fly out to one. I'm sure Conor would go to one or two press conferences, you know what I mean, before the event. I'm sure, and that's all you need. Just record him a couple of times. Like you were saying, Ryan, Conor is not the every fighter. This guy made the UFC $400 million in 8 months, not even a year. And what scares me the most about this, Ryan, you know how Dana is. I don't think he's going to try and bend. So this is going to be very interesting, Ryan. And a real quick 3 minutes left, last question I do want to ask you. If Dana backs down from this and Conor ends up fighting on UFC 200, how bad is it going to be from Dana? Because everyone will look at that in the public. It's not Dana White, president of the UFC. It's Conor McGregor.
All about Dana White's pride. And what I think is going to finally materialize from all this is the UFC needs to finally say we need to get a more respectful, more business-like guy at the head of our company. No matter how much Dana White has done, it might be time for him to finally take a back seat and let somebody else get that job, because you need somebody else who's going to think more like a businessman and less like a street promoter. And that's what Dana White is thinking. Like, he's letting that Boston ego take place. And, you know, you cannot let that happen. If this is boxing, you think Oscar De La Hoya would be like, no, Canelo Alvarez is not going to fight because he doesn't want to show up to this press conference. There's no way in hell. You could easily have Conor McGregor go on Twitter where you Kobe Bryant and promote your fight, and he could do more in that.
Live stream on Facebook. Facebook has live stream right now where you can click in live stream and broadcast. Conor McGregor could do those before the fight, so millions of people would watch it and tune in.
Exactly, and you could fly the UFC out to him. Do all the promotional stuff you have to do, all that,
yes.
That is, and that's how you build this fight up. You could have compromised, but instead, Dana White thought Nate Diaz was going to have his back, and now Nate Diaz says, I'm not going to fight unless Conor fights. So now all the fighters are getting behind Conor, and that is the UFC's biggest fear, and this is Dana White not thinking, backing himself up into a corner. I don't think we're going to get to see Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, Andrew, because
Ryan, sadly, real quick, I don't think that this fight is going to happen. I don't think Conor's going to get on 200. Dana's ego is too big, and I'm very disappointed about it.
Yeah, and I got to also say this. We'll talk more about this on our next event, and sorry we didn't get to hype up Jones fight. Sorry about the audio issues, ladies and gentlemen. Look what Benson Henderson did tonight. He had us talk half of our show or more about Bellator. That's what Benson Henderson and guys like that can do for Bellator and for fighters around the world. It's CK Show 1 on Twitter. Andrew, tell the people where to find you.
At CK Show, Andrew M.
And ladies and gentlemen, we'll have the audio fixed. Check out our post-fight show or our Sunday show following John Jones versus OSP. I cannot wait for the event. What a fight weekend. Let's hope UFC 200 somehow recovers and DSP fights Robbie Lawler or something happens, or Dana White grows a pair of nuts and apologizes and gets Conor McGregor on the plane to New York for the
Oh, yeah. One can only hope. And, folks, we'll keep it 100. We really don't know when we're going to get cut off. A little
whiskey for Conor tonight.
I'm sorry?
Let's all drink Irish whiskey.